profit.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Well, good morning, everyone, and we are here at the Thoroughbred Center in the Clocker Stand at the dear old TTC, as you call it.
I do? Oh, yeah, sure.
You mean we're at the Clocker Stand?
We're in the Clocker.
We call it CS.
we call it wild and crazy this morning. We've had 64 workers so far, and Amalio Garcia's got one out there right now getting ready to work. And somebody else got two more workers as we speak. And
it's a gorgeous morning.
Oh yeah, it's a beautiful morning. Sun came up. It's working its way back toward the 3/8 pole now. And boy, you know when it was pretty sunrise this morning too. When the sun first peeps up, and you can just barely see it over there, and you look away and look up and it's up already. You don't realize it comes up that fast. You know, it makes you want to hang on to something. You know, I mean, it really pops up there.
Right? Yeah, and it's nicer now too. I just got out of the truck, and there's a warmer feel to the breeze.
Yeah.
But now let's see. As I understand, it's going to get cooler for about 2 days, then it's going to the 60s.
No snow.
Oh shoot.
All right. Well, let's see. What are we doing today? We've got an interview with Nicole Pirat. She's a partner in Sally Van Service. She's active in supporting. Sally Van Service is active in supporting old friends. And, of course, I've known the family forever and ever and ever, starting with a great-grandfather. And
Pappy Pirat was her great-grandfather?
Yeah.
You know, I meant to scan some of those old wind pictures and bring them in and give them to her. I'll have to do that and mail them to her.
Yeah.
Because I bet they don't have them.
He and my father were great friends. You know? And, of course, I got to be real good friends with him, too.
Yeah.
And he was a great guy. And, well, Nicole's father is Bruce Pirat, who Pirat Appliance Land, you know.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. So she's going to come on about 11 o'clock. Dr. Doug Byers, Michael Blowen, Steve Moody, the usual three there. We're also going to take a look at Nadir, who was one of the leading two-year-olds in 1957. We've got Jackie's announcements. And, by golly, we've doing pretty good here at the Thoroughbred Center since we've got 21 winners in 11 days this month trained here at the Thoroughbred Center. And since last week's show, we've had 15 winners. Just since.
That's amazing.
Isn't that right? That's
better than two a day.
Yeah. Let me see who they were. Are you ready for this?
Ready.
All right. Jim Dodgen. Of course, that's his brother Joe. They're identical twins. I wonder if he runs a ringer when he goes down there.
I don't know. I can't. When one of them's gone for a while, then I lose the difference. And
you know, they sound alike on the phone, too.
Yeah, but when they're together, you can tell. But, when one leaves and goes to Florida or something, I'm at a loss.
Okay. Well, anyway, Jim Dodge and Saddle, or Joe Saddle at Farm, whatever. Marco Castaneda, Tommy Skinner, Jim Rankin, Mark Hubley, Ron Pellegrino, Brenda Hill, Eduardo Caramori, Mark Hubley again, Tommy Short, Maggie Schulman, Bobby Sturgeon, Akiko Gothard, Mark Hubley again. He's really on a roll. That's three winners this month. And we had a quarter horse win at Remington Park yesterday. Freighterville, who trains out here, Matt Frazier trains it.
Oh.
It was a prep, $25,000 prep race for a stakes race down there. Freighterville is the one he took to Hialeah and won a couple of stakes with down there this winter.
Oh, good.
So that belongs to the Gentry brothers over here.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
Where Matt Howard manages that
farm. Yeah.
Yeah.
What fun. It's Pellegrini, right? You said Pellegrino. I thought maybe he changed his name.
Pellegrini?
Did I
mess it up? I don't speak Italian. Anyway.
There you go.
Oh, well. You know, I could mess up a one-car funeral. But anyway, that's where we are right now. So that's 15 winners since last Saturday. So
that's great.
That's pretty darn
yeah,
good.
Yeah, Ursel gets up every morning and goes in and hits that computer. See who from the training center won. He'll come to breakfast. We had four last night.
Actually, yesterday we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 count. I just found out about the one at Remington. Matt Howard called me.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And like I say, it was going in a stakes race down there, and it's already won stakes. So, you know, we had to put up a new pole for the quarter horses here. There are other people, because you time them from the gate.
Yeah.
And so they had
Yeah, they don't care. They just go.
Yeah.
There's no...
Oh. Get the thing out that... that they wrote about the track here,
yeah,
Jackie.
It's right on top.
Yeah, turn it over. Now this is published. This Keeneland puts this sheet out called the Bugler, and they distribute it to everybody that works for Keeneland full time. I don't get one.
full time and hard working.
Yeah, right. I'm out. Two and strikes, then. One more, and I'm out. Anyway,
well, you show up. That means
but this
something.
Is what they wrote. About the Thoroughbred Center track maintenance crew. TTC's track maintenance crew is headed up by track superintendent Harold Reed. Harold is assisted by Howard Pete Fryman and James Booth. Between the three of them, they have managed to keep TTC's main dirt track open 727 days out of the last 728. It is intentionally closed on Christmas Day. I don't know why they close it on Christmas Day. I mean, bah humbug. This is a remarkable accomplishment, especially considering the severity of the winter. The most difficult conditions occur when the temperatures are in the mid to low 20s, requiring upwards of 21 man hours a night to keep the track from freezing. Most people believe that colder single-digit temperatures would be worse, but on those colder nights, the track can be freeze-dried more quickly and will require less work. When the temperatures are just below freezing, the surface has to be turned over continuously until it is finally freeze-dried, which sometimes doesn't happen until early morning, just before the track opens for training. The Thoroughbred Center's horse population has increased substantially this winter over last year, and a lot of that has to do with the success that Harold and his team have had making sure that TTC's trainers don't miss any precious training time. Isn't that nice?
That is nice, and it's the truth.
It is an absolute truth.
They're wonderful at it. What day in the past 2 years was it closed? I don't remember.
Christmas Day, I just said that.
Oh.
You don't listen to a darn thing.
So they didn't close at all?
No.
For the last 2 years for weather, because there were a lot of places that were flat closed down.
Well, how many days are you talking about?
727.
Okay.
365.
Well, I don't know how many years is that? Yeah, you know, I went to Russell Cave, you know, I mean.
And knows the Russell Cave song, for heaven's sake.
I wrote it. What are you talking about? Yeah, the Russell Cave fight song. Want me to sing it?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
Please, no.
Okay. Well, Horace Greeley sprinted 7 furlongs and won 22 and change to win the Grade 2 Del Mar Futurity just days after breaking his maiden by 4 lengths at the same track. He was a brilliant 2-year-old and was assigned 119 pounds on the experimental free handicap. In but 2 starts at 3, he placed in the Grade 1 Malibu Stakes at Santa Anita. Horace Greeley is sired by the internationally successful Mr. Greeley, the son of Gone West, and he's out of the Grade 1 mare Chili Chate, a daughter of Stormcat. His second dam, a multiple Grade 1 Stakes winner, also produced 3 stakes winners, 2 graded, including Jadada, winner of the Grade 3 Fayette Breeders' Cup Stakes at Keeneland. And his next dam was also a stakes winner and Grade 1 Stakes producer. Horace Greeley's first foals are yearlings, and they look and act like runners. For instance, 2 of his first crop weanings sold at Ocala last October for $47,000 and $35,000. He stands for $5,000 due in a foal stands and nurses at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams. See the website at claibornefarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They are experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, Unbridled has earned a reputation as a sire of sires. One of his most successful sons at stud is Broken Vow. In fact, Broken Vow has sired 75% winners, and that's the highest percentage of winners among all sons of Unbridled. And here's another impressive statistic. Over 16% of his starters have won a place in stakes, and to date he has sired over 70 stakes horses, 33 of them stakes winners. Last year he was represented by 10 stakes winners, 3 of them graded stakes winners, Interactive, Lethal Combination, and Sassy Image. Broken Vow stands at Pin Oak Stud for $25,000 live foal. Also at Pin Oak are the young Grade 1 stakes winner Bob and John, a son of Seeking the Goal, Grade 1 stakes winner and millionaire Cowboy Cal by champion Giants Causeway, and Eclipse Award winner Sky Classic, sire 59 stakes winners and more than 100 stakes horses, and a son of Nijinsky II. Bob and John is standing for the 2011 season for 8,000 live foal. Cowboy Cal's fee is 7,500 live foal, and Sky Classic's 10,000 live foal. Inquiries to Clifford Berry at Pin Oak Stud, and see the website at pinoakstud.com. I think we're back. You want to do your announcements, start your announcements until the...
Yeah, we were just talking. Sandy Adkins was in head barn, half of barn 13 last year where I was up there. She's gone to Florida for the winter. She's coming back and in April. And she is looking for an assistant trainer rider. She's going to be here or she might be close by. So if anybody's interested in being an assistant trainer rider, I can give you her number if I get it up pulled up here real quick. She's in, where is it in Florida? Her number is 304-654-2284.
She is at in a training center just up by Ocala, a little north of Ocala, running at Tampa.
Yeah.
That's where
yeah.
she is now.
I can't remember the name of that place.
Yeah. Here comes Matt Howard.
Matt Howard. Hey, yeah. Matt Howard.
We gave you a plug a while ago. Yeah. I'll expect a check in the mail
yeah,
at any time.
Yeah, come on. At least donuts, for crying out loud.
Yeah. I know.
Okay, to this week's Kentucky Equine Humane Horse of the Week is Sadler's Cat. It's a bay thoroughbred 5-year-old gelding, 15-2. It's been a racehorse. Well-mannered gelding with excellent disposition. He got off the racetrack, settled in. He's quiet under saddle. Ready for a new home, new career. Nothing wrong with him. You know, he's a nice one. I sent this on to Marilyn Sadler to see if she'd bite and give him a home. She didn't bite. So, anyway, he's nice. You don't want anything happen to a nice horse like this. He's a nice guy. The Kentucky Equine Humane Center All Breed Charity Horse Show is Sunday, May 8th this year. It's at Bally High Show Stables at Versailles, and the show bill is online. That's Joyce Brinsfield's place down at Bally High. That'll be a nice show. She runs a really good facility. Everything will be done just right.
Oh, okay. Let me see what we've got here. Okay, this is compliments to my good friend Dave Schweitzer over at the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, and these are a list of Kentucky breds that won stakes last weekend. And the Grade 1 Santa Anita Handicap was won by Game On Dude, who was bred by Adina Springs. The Grade 3 Gotham, Stay Thirsty, bred by John D. and John Darren Gunther. The Grade 3 Tom Fool Handicap went to Calibracha, bred by Bunker Hunt. Bunker ought to know better than name one something
maybe
like that.
Maybe they spelled it backwards for fun.
A-O-A, never mind. the Grade 3 Honey Fox Stakes at Oaklawn went to Never Retreat, bred by Jerry O'Meara and Stanley Inman. At Sam Houston, the Maxim Gold Cup went to Z Hunter, bred by the JFB Stables. Tampa Bay. The Challenger Stakes went to Coliseo, bred by Wertheimer and Freer, both sired, incidentally, by Distorted Humor. At Aqueduct, the Paddy's Positive Stakes went to Five Grand Girl, bred by Hargis and Sandra Sexton. And that was on the 27th. Now, and on, let's see, 28th. For 5 days later, the Incapable Stakes at Aqueduct went to Five Grand Girl. Same filly. She won two stakes in 5 days, and the Sextons breed a pretty good horse. Pretty tough horse, too. But they've been raising runners for I don't know how long.
Well, that's what I was just thinking.
Yeah, they have over there. At Oak Lawn, the Mountain Valley Stakes went to Smoke It Right, bred by Robert Losey, Laura McKinney, and Gainesway Farm. The Laurel Wide Country Stakes, it was Red's Round Table, bred by Winchell Thoroughbreds, raised over at their Corinthia Farm on Russell K. Road. And the Grade 3 Emirates Airline BURJ Nahar Stakes at Maydan went to Mendip, who's by Harlan's Holiday and was bred by the JFB Stables.
I checked
that. That's the compliments, incidentally, of the KTA. And for more information about the KTA, just give them a call over there. And if I can find a phone number, it's 381-1414, Dave Schweitzer. And also, let's see, 77% of North American Breeders' Cup winners were bred in Kentucky. Just throw that in for...
Well, and they've got a nice website, too, the KTA. Let me...
David does a lot of good things for the business, for the industry.
Yes, they do. It's www.kta-ktob.com. Next week, let's see, today being the 12th, next Saturday being March 19th, Fayette County Farm Bureau Farm Equipment Consignment Auction. This goes to the Fayette County Farm Bureau Education Foundation. And it's a good place to pick up something good. And this year ought to be fabulous because they, as I understand it, they're loading up on all kind of farm equipment, lawn and garden equipment. You can bring the stuff in Thursday, March 17th and Friday, March 18th. Don't bring it in. Day of the sale. Hey, no fuel tanks, tires, tobacco sticks, float trays, camper tops, or junk. Well, there goes all our stuff. We have to sell ours privately. Tom Biederman.
We've got a lot of junk, too. We've got a storage room. Jackie never throws anything away.
No, I don't. I don't. I keep stuff, and you'd be amazed at the stuff that I go back and find that I use again.
No comment.
Nothing like a 1947 Buick hood. Ornament. Anyway, Tom Biederman's one of the auctioneers.
Oh, good.
And Walt Robertson and Ryan Mahan also. So it's $5 parking fee at the horse park. Just drive in the horse park, look to the right of the main entrance. That's where they always set it up. They've got a lot of good stuff. Farm equipment, lawn equipment, garden equipment. They take boats, trucks, tractors,
boats?
Trailers, boats.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, if it keeps raining, you never know when you might need a good boat. So anyway, that's next weekend. That starts at 9:30 in the morning, and it goes mostly all day, as I recall. 6 o'clock, I think. Okay, what's going on at the horse park today? Today is March the 12th. Champagne Run Hunter Jumper Show. Today and tomorrow, that's a biggie. That's a lot of fun. That's a sign of spring. Also, the 14th, 16th, and the 17th this week is indoor polo. Next weekend, Bluegrass Mounted Games, and of course, running concurrently with the farm equipment auction. Let's see.
I see Dr. Byer.
Yeah, Dr. Byers and Michael are getting here. I kind of hate to start in on anything.
No, go ahead and finish up. That's all right.
Okay.
They got an added starter there. I don't know who he is.
Okay, Tuesday, March the 17th, 7 o'clock at Pony Club headquarters will be the next I Hope volunteer meeting. It's at 7 o'clock. That's this coming Tuesday, 7 o'clock at U.S. Pony Club office. The, of course, the I Hope is the day after the Preakness at the horse park, and it's a sanctioned... Steeplechase day. So the guys are here.
They are.
Let's let me get out that way.
Yeah. All righty. Well, let me, hey, I tell you what, let me do my commercials, then we can get started with you guys, Michael Blow on here and Dr. Doug Beyer. And but we'll do some commercials here and go from there. Well, once again, let us remind you that Mizzen Mass has sired as many as 24 two-year winners in a single crop, and that 9 of the 24 won are placed in stakes. And let me point out that Mizzen Mass has an outstanding crop of two-year-olds going for him this year. He covered 149 mares in 2008, so it's going to be another good year for Mizzen Mass. Last year, Mizzen Mass was represented by 13 stakes horses, three of them two-year-olds, eight stakes winners. He sired two grade one stakes winners, and nearly half of his stakes horses have won a place in graded stakes. And he has sired stakes winners on dirt, grass, and artificial surfaces, and in four different countries. A grade one stakes winner by a leading sire Colzine with a pedigree which provides an ideal outcross for Northern Dancer and Mr. Prospector Lion Mares. Mizzen Mass stands for 12,500 live foal at Judmont Farm. That's the home also of grade one stakes winner First Defense, who's by Unbridled Song. Out of the grade one stakes winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slough, great pedigree. First Defense stands for 7,500 live foal. Inquiries with Gary Rourke and Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, everybody knows where Quillen Tack is now. It's in Paris, Kentucky, and that's Ralph Quillen. Was the last time I looked. And he's, if you, let me tell you how to find it, in case you don't know, in case you're ignorant. You're going to Paris Pike, in right straight into Paris, and go to the third stoplight, and it's right there on this left. And if you go in there, don't mention Michael Blowen's name, because Michael has
persona,
cost him.
Persona non grata, Quillen Tack. Oh, he's coming.
Michael is.
I now have to wear one of those dog things that where they keep me on with a bracelet, so that I give off a signal when I'm a mile from the store, so they can all evacuate.
He's done you a lot of favors, old buddy.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's one of the reasons they look so great. And I got a great story. Horse is going to be wearing a Quillen Tack halter soon, but wait to hear this story. You better stay tuned. This is a good one.
Okay. All right. Well, Ralph, of course, is a great tack shop. And his website down there, let me find it real quick, probably on the back of this brochure that I should be looking at.
It's Quillen.com. It's not that hard, Ursel. Quillin. www.quillin.com. That's the website.
Okay. What's his phone number, wise guy?
859-987-0215.
Hey, I'm impressed. Hell, I can't remember mine.
And Ralph's a great guy. You can go in there and bother him, socialize with him. He likes to hide upstairs, so tell him you know he's there. He'll just have to come downstairs.
Well, go up there and see him.
Yeah, or go up there and see him. Yeah, exactly.
All righty. Well, that's Quillen Tack. And leather, and they really, it's a great shop, sure enough, and they do first-class work, and I guess they do more halters than any other, probably than all the rest of the tack shops combined.
Well, I know they do the best ones. They do the best ones for us, and these horses are out all the time, 24 hours a day. They put a lot of wear and tear on them, and they last a long, long time until we put them up on eBay and sell them for three times more than what they're worth.
All right. That's Quillen Tack and Leather. And let me say something nice about equine surgery and sports medicine now. I'll give you their address, too. They're on the corner of Ironworks and Georgetown Pike. You can't miss it if you go there. Either way, great big buildings. They specialize in outpatient medicine and elective surgery, arthroscopy, fractures, lameness, limb deformities, anything like that. And they're also in the forefront of regenerative medicine treatments. That's PRP and processed stem cell treatments and things like that. The vets over there, Dr. Wes Sutter, who's a board certified surgeon, completed his surgery residency at Ohio State. He was down at the Ocala Equine Hospital for a number of years, also was affiliated with Rood & Riddle. Dr. Bill Bernard, I think everybody knows Bill, he was 17 years with Rood & Riddle, highly respected, and he heads the outpatient medicine division. Dr. Lori Benville, who is a board-certified anesthesiologist, and she also, I guess she left with Bill, and because she was with Rood & Riddle also. Here's what you do. You call for an appointment, and they get you in and out of there. They don't keep you overnight. They give you the cost, what it's going to cost in advance. There's no add-ins, no surprises. when you get the bill, it's just what they say it's going to be, and that's a plus right there. So what they do, they provide great service at a reasonable price, and they're top veterinarians. You couldn't do any better than that. Once again, that's the Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine, and their website is lexingtonequine.com. Phone number is 967-0770. So great people doing, and it's a new concept over there. All right. Michael Blowen, what do you sitting? I see you're sitting on a keg of dynamite over there. What do you?
You know how hard it is for me to keep my mouth shut, but I've had to keep it shut for about a month, and it's been driving me nuts. But we just got a wonderful horse this morning, named Ball Four.
Ball Four.
Ball Four.
Okay.
Won the Fayette Stakes.
Yeah.
Won the Kentucky Cup. In his maiden, in a maiden special weight, in his second start, he set the track record for 7.5 furlongs at Belmont Park.
Wow.
Has set the track record up at Turfway in the Kentucky Cup, beat Perfect Drift, beat a lot of nice horses. He's a great son of Grand Slam. Anyway.
Hey, what a good name. Ball Four by Grand Slam.
Isn't it? Yeah, there
yeah,
you go.
Isn't that a good
name? We're just testing. So, there's a couple reasons that I've had my eye on Ball Four when he ran in the Fayette Stakes. I was there that day, and he was 44-1. I'll never forget this. And I said to my friend Mercer, I said, Mercer, you know, we got to watch this horse. That doesn't deserve to be 44-1. If he gets the lead, he might be tough to catch. So I played him fourth in the Superfecta. I played him third, singled him third in the Trifecta, and I singled him in the Exacta. And he won.
Oh, jeez.
Mercer said, well, you must have had him. I said, don't talk to me. Anyway, so that's one memory of the horse. And the other.
I wonder who takes him in the dub. Yeah, after all that.
Yeah. Now, the other great thing is, for those of us old enough to remember, one of the most influential books of the early 60s and one of the great sports books ever written is a book called Ball Four that was written by a pitcher for the Yankees named Jim Boughton. And it was the first kind of tell-all sports book, but it's when you read it now, it's very, very mild. Jim Boughton wrote it, and the thing that caused all the trouble with the newspaper guys was that he was just telling stories that they wanted to tell but didn't, because, you know, this is crazy code of whatever it is to don't tell the public the truth, just tell them what the owners wanted to hear. And it's a very mild book in a lot of ways, but it's brilliantly, brilliantly written. And so I decided if we're going to get Ball Four, I'd call Jim Boughton, who's now 72 years old. He lives up in Massachusetts and still plays baseball.
Is that right?
Yeah. And so I called.
Who's he playing for? Yankees or somebody?
Yeah, no, not anymore. But he won a couple of World Series games. I mean, he's a really, really good pitcher. He started his career in 1961, and then he had arm trouble. He developed a knuckleball, and he played for the Seattle Pilots. After he wrote this book, the Yankees sent him to the Seattle Pilots, a team that only existed for 1 year.
Oh.
And that's basically what the book is about.
He did play for the Yankees then.
He won World Series games.
Well, I don't know.
Listen to what I'm saying.
That's ahead of my time. Go ahead.
And anyway, he was a really, really, really good pitcher and an excellent writer. And after his career with the Yankees, when his arm got sore, he retired. But he developed a knuckleball, and in 1978, he had a comeback with the Atlanta Braves and actually pitched in four games for the Atlanta Braves some 16, 17 years later after his career with the Yankees was over. He's a really, really great guy. He also invented Big League Chew, that gum that Wrigley sells now. That's one of his inventions. In any case, I called him up, and I said, Jim, I have this idea, and we talked about it for a while, and I sent him a few emails, and he's always up for a good time. So he's actually going to come here.
Oh, neat.
He's going to throw out the first ball at the Lexington Legends game on April the 14th.
Wow.
The 15th, we're going to hang out. The 16th is going to be a lot of fun because in the morning, we're bringing Ball Four over to Keeneland.
Oh.
And we're going to bring Jim Boughton over to Keeneland. And he'll bring his book, and he can autograph, get your picture taken with Jim and the horse. And how much more fun can you possibly have?
That sounds great.
And I have to say this, too. He was brought to us this morning by Sally Vance.
Oh,
thank goodness for Sally Vance.
Nicole's going to be on the show today.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I mean, they are so great.
Oh, they are.
Oh,
yeah.
They don't even charge us for gas. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
That's an expensive item.
No
these
kidding.
Days.
Yeah, yeah, no is. Kidding. I mean, we'd be grateful. Well, let me not go there. We're very grateful to Nicole and everyone at Sally Vans. Mike, the dispatcher, the drivers have been fabulous. I remember the last time before this, we had a horse come over. The van driver was so excited because when Zenyatta got off the plane and was driven over to Keeneland for her appearance, it was in a Sally van driven by this guy.
They took her to the breeding shed.
Yes, they did.
And she's in foal, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Just examined her in foal.
Yeah, it's pretty good. So anyway, April 14th, Lexington Legends. Jim Bowden's going to throw out the first pitch.
When's he going to be at Old Friends now?
Well, he's going to stay with us at the bed and breakfast.
Oh, great.
Oh, I should have mentioned that to Diane. Well, we'll make accommodations. Yeah, he's going to be staying with us at the bed and breakfast, and he'll be coming in on Thursday and leaving on Sunday. But he's never been to Keeneland, and I think he'll have a good time, and that's why he's doing it, because he thinks it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, great. 72 years old, huh?
Yep. And I'd like to thank David Jacobson, who donated a ball for to us, the trainer. He donated to us and didn't charge us anything, and all the friends on Facebook that raised money for him, and a really, really great group of people.
Where has the horse been?
Well, he won his last race at Penn National for in a $4,000 claimer on February.
He's been in
March
training,
February 11th, I think.
Been in training. I'm just wondering where you found him.
Did you
claim him?
No, he gave him to us.
Oh, he gave him to you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Gee whiz.
He gave
That's like
him.
Giving you a social disease, isn't it?
What do you mean? His horse is fabulous. He's already raised almost, we didn't even have him yet, and he's already raised almost $15,000.
Oh, wow. Time. That's better than
and that. He hasn't even made his appearance at Keeneland yet.
Yeah, right.
Nick Nicholson gave us $2,000 toward him.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
and
that's great for
his,
doing that.
His executive assistant, Betsy Baxter. Mm-hmm. Has been a prime mover in getting this horse too. So, and Nick was great. We had a nice discussion the other day and about bringing him over there and all that. It's going to be great fun.
Yeah, sounds wonderful. Sounds wonderful. Anything else going on over at Old Friends?
Well, probably.
I imagine your tours are picking up.
Yeah, they are.
I took a bunch of your brochures that you left here and took them up to the
main
office up here. I kept a few of them here.
We had a nice visit last week from Mike Ziegler, who's the NTRA. He's the head of the safety alliance that the NTRA started. You know, he came over to the farm and spent a few hours and had some people over there from Maryland that really know the horses, and they were really, every time we turned around, he'd go, "Is that Gulch?" And I go, "Yeah, that's Gulch." They were, "Can I get my picture date with him?" "Yeah." "And who's that?" I said, "That's a Wad." And they go, "Wow, that's a Wad." You know, it's really nice.
So,
it's great showing people around that haven't been around racehorses, but it's so much more thrilling for the people that know these horses, saw them race.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have horses that they've had that were offspring of some of our horses, so it's always nice to make the connections with the horse people.
So you got the winners of some $75 million over there, haven't
mm-hmm.
you? Yeah, gee, he wins.
Yeah, and that doesn't include Ball Four, 700 and something thousand. Yeah.
Did he win that much?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. How old is he?
10.
10 years old, and
he's
still
at Dr. Byers, and Dr. Byers took care of him before he won the Fayette Stakes.
Is that right?
So they were reunited today.
Doc, huh?
Oh, yeah. He had a bit of a problem, and Derek Galvin was the trainer. And Derek and I have known each other for a long time. And Dr. Bielmer, Ben Bielmer, asked me to come give him a second opinion on the problem. And we looked at it, and
obviously solved it.
Well, yeah, and then we had, you know, it was a lung issue, and it was significant, and he had 10 days to go before that race, and he got to it and won it. Yeah, so it was pretty impressive.
Yeah,
it was good for me, because I was kind of walking away from there saying, you know, I don't think we got much shot.
Yeah.
So, but that's why they call it practice. You learn every day, and if you listen to the horses, they're the teachers.
Yeah.
So anyway, I want to throw a quick accolade in for Bill Bernard. Michael's sitting here, all the support and benevolent support he's getting from Sally and everybody else, and our Health and Welfare Alliance thing is up and started now. We
I got my head up there, Doc.
Yep, and Bill Bernard was the first veterinarian to step up to the plate and make a contribution.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah, so, I mean, we really appreciate that, and we're really looking for the other veterinarians and anybody to get us going, and if we can get people like Bill, it's only for the horses. It's not for anything but the horses. It's not the horse industry. It's for the horses.
Yeah.
Well, so anyway, Bill deserves a pat on the back.
Very good. Well, he just got one.
Yeah.
Well, let me take a break here, and then we'll get to you. How's
okay.
That?
All right.
You ready?
Well, we're going to talk about those fractured ribs.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, and if anybody's got any hay out there, we're desperate need of hay. So if anybody wants to give us hay.
Hey, the grass is greening up now.
This is my commercial.
And you're begging for hay.
This is my commercial. Well, we need a little bit more for the back. It's a little muddy back there, and the like, grass hasn't popped right back up.
It's acres for horse.
Yeah. Yeah, not horses for acre. Acres
well,
for
horse.
Well,
that's pretty much back there. That's pretty much what it is back there. But they must have bigger appetites.
All right. Well, Game On Dude, winner last Saturday, the Grade 1 Santa Anita Handicap, is the 11th Grade 1 Stakes winner by Awesome Again. One of the 11 is the Fleet De Hare, winner of the Grade 1 Cigar Mile. Another is De Hare's full sister, Spun Sugar, winner of both the Grade 1 Apple Blossom and the Grade 1 Gopher Wand. Now, De Hare will run a mile in 1:33-1 for a 1:14 buyer to take the Cigar Mile. He also won the historic Grade 2 Jerome in 1:34-1. For a 1:10 buyer, he had brilliant speed. Awesome Again has also sired four winners of Breeders' Cup races, more than any other active sire. A winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, two winners of the Breeders' Cup Distaff. Awesome Again stands for a fee of $50,000. De Hare and Spun Sugar are out of the stakes-winning mare Irish Cherry that sold for $2.7 million at auction, and Spun Sugar sold for $4.5 million. It's a top family. De Hare stands for 7,500 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. All right, well, I thought I was in the wrong queue there. I'm coming, Mary Jane. Hang on down there. I skipped a whole bunch of commercials and waiting for them to play them down there. So what? Oh, well, they're used to it. Probably driving poor Mary Jane crazy down there. Well, that's at the studio.
Yeah, right.
Well, associates of McCauley Brothers enjoyed another great weekend of racing last week. The Grade 1 Santa Anita Handicap winner, Game On Dude, was bred by Eclipse Ward winner Adina Springs. Stay Thirsty, bred by John D. and John Darren Gunther, and raised at Hillendale Farm, moved squarely into the Derby picture by taking the Grade 3 Gotham. Never Retreat, bred by Jerry O'Meara and Stanley Inman, won the Grade 3 Honey Fox. The Wide Country Stakes at Law went to Red's Roundtable, who was bred by Winter Thoroughbreds and raised at their Corinthia farm. And the Challenger Stakes at Tampa went to Colesio, who was bred by Wertheimer and Freer and raised at Haggard Farm. Then on Tuesday at the fairgrounds, the Mardi Gras Stakes went to Storm Street, bred by Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm. Nothing pleases the folks at McCauley's more than the success of clients, and they are proud to be associated with many of the world's most successful horsemen. Maybe it's time for you to join the winning team. Just call Steve Baker or Mike Warren at McCauley's, 873-3333, or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, that's where it's all about the horse. Well, Super Saver has a classic pedigree. He's one of two Kentucky Derby winners by Maria's mom. His dam by classic winner and classic sire A.P. Indy is also the dam of Brethren, son of Distorted Humor, who goes today in the Grade 2 Tampa Bay Derby. His second dam, graded stakes winner and multiple graded stakes winner Get Lucky by classic sire Mr. Prospector, is also grand dam of Grade 1 stakes winner Bluegrass Cat, who ran second in both the Kentucky Derby and Belmont Stakes and was a top-ranked freshman sire last year. Third dam is a Grade 1 winner and Grade 1 producer Dance Number, a daughter of the great classic winner and classic sire Northern Dancer. So it was no surprise that Super Saver won the Kentucky Derby. He was just living up to his pedigree. It was also no surprise that he was a superior runner at two, breaking his maiden by 7 lengths at Belmont and winning the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes at Churchill. After all, his sire was a champion two-year-old. It will also be no surprise when he becomes a successful sire. Maria Mons climbed to number 4 on the sire list last year. Super Saver standing his first seed in a stud at Windstar for $20,000, doing a full stands and nurses. There's a 10% discount if you pay the fee by November 1 of the year bred. Inquiries of Robert Hammond. See the website at windstarfarm.com. All right. Well, I've got Dr. Doug Byers here with me today. What are we talking about? Broken ribs?
Yeah. Thought I'd set the stage a little bit with a kind of a scenario. Take about a 3 or 4 day old foal, and he's doing fine. He nurses the mare. Everything looks pretty good. My farm manager might comment, he seems a little slow. Not as active as you might want to be. But they notice that he's got a little bit of edema over his right elbow. And it's kind of like a mini shoe boil. And then there's a little plaque of fluid building up on the right side of his chest on the bottom. And the first thing you want to do is check him for a fractured rib. Now, I know that you're a follower of all this veterinary vocabulary. So that's pretty close to what we call pathognomonic. So pathognomonic means the pathology is now known. So there isn't much else going to be there, so it's pathognomonic for that disorder. So you go in there and your veterinarian or whatever, you run your hands over both sides of the chest simultaneously, and you feel a bit of a depression, and there's your answer right there. He's got fractured ribs. Sometimes you might have your hand over that chest and you get a click, and that means that rib is moving apart. And you say, well, he's 4 days old. Did I make a mistake here by turning him out? And yes, you did. Because if that rib is clicking and it's moving, he can cut into something because he's got some sharp bones in there. So, and over vital structures. So, anyway, that becomes the issue. And then you might even ultrasound and see those sharp edges. You can see that with an ultrasound machine. It takes some skill to look at it. But anyway, you can find that. And you got different degrees of compromise. This guy is 4 days old, and you got lucky. Nothing displaced bad enough to tear anything up. But if you did begin to tear things up, you could cut into the heart, and basically he'd go across the paddock and drop dead. Or he could bleed out into the pericardial sac and get blood into that sac and compress the heart, and a little bit slower, but he's still going to wind up either dead or close to. That piece of rib could cut into the lung, and then he gets hemothorax, blood in the thorax. And those things will go into shock because they lose a lot of blood, and the blood is compressing the lung. So a lot of times what we'll do is an auto transfusion, which we'll stick a catheter into the chest cavity and suction the blood off and put it in their vein. So we auto self transfuse them to get them out of shock. So you're not worrying about, I got to go out and cross match and get compatible blood. You take it right out of that cavity and put it into his bloodstream because it's fresh blood and it's sterile. So you give them an auto transfusion, you get them stabilized. Now you look at the big picture. What are we going to do about management of the foal? But in any, and most of those will heal. You just got to take your time. Now, if they broke that rib all the way back towards the abdomen, sometimes that fragment of rib can cut through the diaphragm, and then you get a diaphragmatic hernia where the bowel comes up there into the chest, and they got to go to surgery. Or they can bleed from that tear where they cut through the vessels to the diaphragm. So it's a complicated deal that needs to be avoided by a good exam on the day of birth. And you'd say, well, this is a little tiny foal. You know, it's 80 pounds. Don't count on that. They can have it too. Big foals, huge foals with dystocias, especially, that have had a tough time getting them out, those are the highest risk we have, but it can happen in the smaller ones as well. So it's just a matter of checking them. So you want to do a good exam, make sure that you don't have fractured ribs present. If you break a bunch of ribs, then that's called a flail, F-L-A-I-L, chest, where when they breathe in, the chest cavity doesn't expand on that side. It collapses because it actually forms like a suction. And so you'll have this big crevice, and when they're inspiring, they don't expand that side of the chest. It actually goes the other way. So it's the wrong direction because they create kind of a different vacuum there. And those are bad news. Mm-hmm. So you need to keep them rested. When we first started fooling with these fractured ribs, and some of them would be flail chests, I remember I'd say, well, let's lay this foal down so we sedate them. We actually knock them out with phenobarbital and keep them asleep for several days to get this thing all manageable. And I'd say, well, lay them down with the fractured ribs up because we don't want them pressing against the ground and making it worse. And I had a nurse, they're always smarter than I am, and she said...
Prettier, too.
Yes, by far. She said to me one time, very profound observation, she says, you've got the bad lung laying on top of the good lung. Because the bad lung is all turned to meat and edema. And she says, the floor actually, or the mat that they lay on, is kind of a cushion and keeps that. And by golly, turn them over, and we improved our survival on those foals significantly. Then along comes surgery, which was a difficult thing, where actually the surgeons finally developed like tongue depressors or things to put along these ribs and then take wires and secure them on down. So, and of course, you do go through all that, and are you going to get a racehorse? And that's what everybody needs to know. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you will get a racehorse. We've had survivors go on to be good, solid racehorses. So that young critter has an amazing ability to heal.
Do you find more of those in like maiden mares, maybe? Or?
Anything with a difficult foaling.
Anything with a
difficult foaling.
Could be an older mare or anything else. Yeah.
There was a study done in Ireland. John Halley and Sheila Laverty did that study 25 years ago, and they went out and they x-rayed foals' chests and palpated to determine how many foals had fractured ribs. And they didn't have a complication in any one of these foals. Okay, they are all pretty crackerjack. But 56% had fractured ribs.
Is that right?
Yeah. Wow. And they looked at about 100 foals.
Huh.
So it's there. Yeah. It's there. But you know, we don't notice it unless that edema shows up or something of that nature. So again, the prognosis for these guys is good. The thing you really want to pay attention to is, okay, we've got that 40-year-old foal, and now we did find that he does have fractured ribs. Mm-hmm. So he stays in that stall for a minimum of 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's pivotal. Mm-hmm. Because if he goes out in that paddock and he starts to feel better and he bucks and plays,
so damage it all over again.
Yeah, you might find him dead right in the paddock. Yeah. So that's the story of fractured. We can manage them, we can treat them, we can fix them, and they can go on to race. But you got to find it.
All right, Doc.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right.
I appreciate it. Well, there were 7 2-year-old Cyber Malibu Moon catalog for the Fasig Tipton March 2-year-old in training sale. 6 were sold for $500,000, $470,000, $350,000, $310,000, $300,000, and $200,000. That's because Malibu Moon sized runners and horsemen know it. He climbed to number 3 on the 2010 North American sire list. They also know the Dynaformer sized runners. He's ranked among the top 10 leading sires 8 times. Graded stakes winner Temple City is by Dynaformer out of a half-sister to Malibu Moon. Now, that's a sire pedigree. Now, throw in the fact that Temple City's dam is by Danzig, sire of 201 stakes winners. Temple City, won his first career start, going 6.5 furlongs and 1:15-1. He went on to win the Grade 3 Cougar, the second handicap in record time at Del Mar. He also was a photo finish second in the Grade 1 Hollywood Turf Cup, ran second by head in the Grade 2 American Handicap, was beaten less than a length in the Grade 2 Del Mar Handicap, and he posted a pair of 1 mile wins, getting a distance 134 flat in one of them. And Temple City is standing his first season at stud for $5,000, doing a full stanza of nurses. Now call Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Sean Feld or Ned Toffee at Spencer Farm. Ask how you can obtain a lifetime breeding right to Temple City. The website is SpendthriftFarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business: the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality is still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, 'tis Deja Vu won the Grade 2 Firecracker, the Grade 3 American Turf Stakes, and the Grade 3 Jefferson Cup, and the opening verse stakes at Churchill Downs, where he was virtually unbeatable. And he won them with a front-running catch-me-if-you-can style of running that was a delight to watch. He also won the Grade 3 American Derby at Arlington Park, and he placed in the Grade 1 Secretariat Stakes, also at Arlington, after setting all the early pace. At career's end, he has started 16 times, won 8, and was in the money 13 times and earned nearly $700,000. Tis Deja Vu is about Tis Now, the only two-time winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic. Hall of Famer Tis Now was the sire of 12 stakes winners and the earners of more than $6,156,000 last year, to once again rank among the nation's leading sires. A game, consistent runner with a beautiful way of moving, Tis Deja Vu is standing his first season at stud this year for $5,000 live foal. It stands at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Inquiries to Pope McLean and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
Is it time for me?
1 minute. They'll have him seat over here. Let's see, where in the hell am I now?
Afraid of the microphone.
He is, so me too. Tell him. But tell him, come on in here. Yeah. Who do we have here?
Just sit down.
Yeah, sit down. Hi, I'm Ursula Ellis. What's your name?
Carl Lumley. Nice to
Carl
meet you.
Carl Lumley?
Yep.
Yeah, how you spell that?
L-U-M-L-E-Y.
Yeah. What do you do, Carl, other than hang out with those two guys?
Dr. Byers, well, we're building a house for Dr. Byers right now, so that's what we're doing.
Oh, are you a builder?
Yes, sir. Oh. There's barns, houses, whatever you need done, we'll take care of it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. You based here in Lexington?
Out of Paris, but yeah, we
oh, you're Paris.
Kane County, Bourbon County, Scott County.
Yeah. He lives on Hume Bedford.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. We live right around the corner on Clay Kaiser.
Yes, sir. We did a barn down there for Sarah Hamilton there about 2 years ago after hers got blown down with a tornado or something went through there.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what they said it was.
Didn't
tornado.
Miss us by a whole hell of a lot there.
No,
you know?
You live, well, half a mile from her.
That's a little more, about a mile.
Because it's 2.2 miles from our house to 27.
Okay.
And then so, or no, it's 2 miles exactly, and she's a little over halfway.
Give me your name again. Let me write it down.
It's that Carl with a K.
Carl with a K.
He's Irish. You can't tell.
Oh, I can't tell.
I've been here too long.
And
L-U-M?
Yeah.
L-E-Y.
L-E-Y. That doesn't sound Irish.
You put an O in a little thing in front of it. Oh, Lumley.
There oh, is go. That right?
No, I made that up.
All right, well, you were born in Ireland, were you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, born and raised, yeah.
He knows Fitzgerald and Keogh and all the rest of that. Sorry, bunch.
All the blackguards.
Would you do me a favor?
Yes.
Would you go over here and give some English lessons to Jimmy Cargan?
I've never met him. I've heard of him, but I've never got him.
Jimmy trains out here, and I have the hardest darn time understanding
him. Ursa went and had his ears checked.
Yeah, I even went and had, I had my, you know, cost me a whole lot of money to have find out if, that he couldn't talk plain, you know. Well, he's a great guy, though, and a pretty good trainer, too.
All good.
Now, how long you been building?
Oh, last 10 years.
Yeah. Okay. How long you been over here?
Going on 19, 20 years now, yeah. We were in the horse business, so we got tired of the 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and decided to change from horses to building.
Well,
so it could work 7 days a week, 24 hours. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not that bad.
No, it's not exactly.
No.
Okay. Yeah, are you by yourself? You, I mean, it's just you? Or?
Yeah, just myself. Well, I've got four guys full time, and then we've got subcontractors that do our electrical and plumbing and everything else.
Hey, Joe Heath's painted stuff with him before. He knows Joe Heath.
Okay. Well, you know a lot of guys out here then.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of Irish out here.
Sure is. Too many.
Too many. I didn't say that.
No, I'm just teasing.
Yeah. Well, here comes Nicole. All right.
There she is.
Well, no, sit still. We'll get you up to the top of the hour. Nicole doesn't come on for about three, four minutes yet. Yeah. Yeah. Well, what are you building for Doc now?
Building his house. Yeah. Getting ready. I should have it finished up.
Well, what's he living in now?
Has
he gone back to that trailer?
I better not say.
The double wide.
Well, he usually lives in the doghouse if Susan has her way.
That's it.
Yeah. Oh, well, good. Yeah. Well, listen, thanks for stopping by.
Appreciate it.
Carl.
Thanks for
coming. I never knew an Irishman spelled it Carl with a K either. Well, you sure you're not German?
Well, that's an English name.
What's your
phone
number?
Yeah, it's an English surname, believe it or not.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
How'd that happen?
I'm not sure.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Somewhere down the line we came across.
Well, it's nice meeting you.
Yes, sir. Nice to meet you.
You're in with the Philistines when you fell in with Doc and Michael Bowen, though. Lord have mercy.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, let me play a commercial. Sit down, Nicole. We'll be right with you. Yep. Well, Street Hero won the Grade 1 Norfolk Stakes and placed in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile and the Grade 1 Del Mar Futurity. He was a brilliant 2-year-old. Runners which have won a place in these stakes include Sweet Hero Sire, Street Cry, The Great Storm Cap, Unbridled Song, and Champion Juvenile Sire Hennessy. Street Hero is one of 12 Grade 1 stakes winners by the remarkable Street Cry, four of them champions, including Zenyatta. In fact, Street Cry has sired more Grade 1 stakes winners than his first three crops on either Stormcat or AP Indy. His first foals by Street Cry are yearlings. You see them at major 2011 auctions. He stands at Vinery, home of, also of Congrats, sire of Turbulent Descent, winner of the March 5 running in the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks, and last year's number one freshman sire. And last Saturday, the $100,000 John Battaglia Memorial went to Positive Response. A 3-year-old from the first crop by Pomeroy, who stands down at Vinery, Florida. So inquiries to John Gasper or Francis Rillihan or Grant Williamson at Vinery and see the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, broadcasting live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
This spring.
catering. Make some money at the races. Turf Catering is now hiring servers, cashiers, cooks, and other positions for the Keeneland Spring Meet. For an immediate interview, attend the Turf Catering Job Fair on Tuesday, March 22nd from 1 till 6 p.m. in the Keene Barn Entertainment Center at the Man of War and Versailles Road entrance across from the Air Force. For more information, call Turf Catering at 253-0541. Attend the Turf Catering Job Fair Tuesday, March 22nd from 1 to 6 p.m. in the Keene Barn Entertainment Center.
Well, Brother Derek won Grade 1 stakes as a 2-year-old, and he won Grade 1 stakes as a 3-year-old. At 2, after breaking his maiden at Hollywood Park, he won the Grade 1 Hollywood Futurity and the Grade 2 Norfolk. Came back at 3 to take the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby, the Grade 2 Santa Catalina, and the Grade 2 San Rafael, and he also placed in 4 more stakes, 3 of them graded, for earnings of $1,611,138. Interesting to note that past winners of the Santa Anita Derby include the likes of Indian Charlie, AP Indy, Sunday Silence, Superior Sires. Brother Derek was the morning line favorite for the Kentucky Derby, and this is the crop of 3-year-olds, which included Bernardini, Bluegrass Cat, Barber Roll, Discreet Cat, First Samurai, and other top-class runners. First foals sired by Brother Derek are yearlings, and they look and act like runners. Last year, he was represented by 2 weanlings that sold at public auction. A filly brought $52,000, and a colt sold for $50,000. Brother Derek stands for $7,500 live foal, with special breeding incentives available, and he stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brad and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. The website is airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All righty, well, we're starting the second hour of this mess. Whatever you want to call it. Horsetails, and I have Nicole Pirat with me. And I've been trying to get Nicole on the air for about the last 2-3 years. And she's always gone. You just went to Florida last week.
Yes, I was down there for the 2-year-old and training sales and going from racetrack to racetrack, touching base with many of the trainers that are getting ready to head north.
Do you go to all the sales down there?
I do.
Okay. And other places, too. Saratoga. And
yes.
How do you wrangle that?
Well, I try to schedule being at all the sales, and that's sort of where my background was coming into this role. So I was at all the sales and still find that to be part of our business.
You like to travel.
I do.
Yeah, okay. So they've saddled you with that. I can think of nothing worse than traveling, but anyway, that's... now, you're a partner in Sally Vance, right? Is that right?
Actually, the owner, yes.
Oh, you're the sole owner now?
Yes.
Okay, wow. Can I touch you?
Watch it. He means you're up for a 10.
Well, that's, you know, you all are doing such a great job over there. And, you know, I appreciate it, and the industry should appreciate what you all have done for Michael Blowen and old friends over there, and he went on and on today about y'all bringing Ball 4 down. He's so proud of getting that horse, you know. And, geez, that's a great contribution. It's wonderful y'all to do that.
Well, we are real passionate about making sure we can find places for horses to have a second career or a good retirement, because really that sort of was my riding background before I started getting into the industry, was taking horses off the racetrack and
I'm going to get into that. Yeah. Now, of course, I knew Bobby Maxwell when he started Sally Vance way back in the 50s. Out on Versailles Road behind a gas station out there. Now, that's way ahead of your time, Nicole. But I was...
all get our Starbucks now.
But anyway, that's... and, of course, he... Now, let me ask you, do you all still build your own vans?
We do. We build all of our trailers, starting with 2 steel beams, and build them from the ground up. And we have a very aggressive refurbishment program, so you're constantly keeping your equipment up. Yeah. It's very important.
Well, yeah. It must be first class. You hauled a pretty good mare to a breeding shed not too long ago.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
I'm pretty proud of that.
Zenyatta.
Well, and you got Zenyatta from the plane. Yeah. That was a great picture. There she is, getting off a Sally van. That was too cool.
That was a very neat evening.
Yeah, yeah, that was all over the internet. That was great.
We've been very fortunate to be able to be a part of both of those great fillies, Rachel and...
Oh, did you haul Rachel Alexander?
We hauled Rachel all over the place.
My gosh, I didn't know that.
There, listen, this is... I'm so proud of you. I've known you since you were a little girl. And there's no glass ceiling here, or you pop through the top of it. Look at it. This is fabulous. I mean, that's a great company, and
We have a great team. It's just you drive to work, you go through Keeneland, and you're driving over to the office, and you can really reflect how fortunate we are to be in such a great game and have such a wonderful team of people that's dedicated to taking care of horses while they travel.
Yeah, I remember when you were young and in Pony Club, and people pull up with these little ponies.
She's
and
still young, Jackie.
I know. I'm talking about teeny. Yeah. Here comes Sally Van, great big old van, off the kind of this little pony. It was so cute.
And then I'd be tied to the fence waiting for a truck to go home because they were busy with the horse sale.
Yeah, exactly.
They forget about you, huh?
Well, I was low on the priority list.
I bet you were.
That was funny. That was so cute.
Oh, my goodness. That's been a while, though, hasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. That was a Keeneland Pony Club, of course. And how old were you when you started doing that?
I didn't get into Pony Club till I was probably 11.
Ancient.
11 years old?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're supposed to speak close to the mic there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's, and of course, Jackie had Betsy over there at that time.
Yeah.
And,
now, how far did you go? How many years did you stay in it?
I stayed in till I was 21 and was a graduate A.
That's it. That's the
A
beginning.
Level?
A.
That's
yeah,
top
you
of the
start
line.
Out D, and then you're a C, and most of the time people don't get past C. Mm-hmm. And then there's B and A. That's fantastic. That's really quite an accomplishment. There aren't that many. Most of the Olympic team wind up being A pony clubbers. Mm-hmm. So how many years does that make you were in Pony Club?
Oh, 10 or 11 years.
10 or 11 years, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You still ride?
I don't ride as much. I don't have as much time, but I have a couple horses off the track that I ride.
Oh, you do? Where do you keep them?
Still keep them at Mom and Dad's.
Do you?
Good old Mom and Dad.
Well, where's their place now?
They're over off of Harrodsburg Road.
Okay. All right. Because that's your dad was Pierrette's appliance land.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, but now Pappy Pierrette was your great...
Great-grandfather.
Grandfather. I have got some pictures at home. I meant to scan them or something. You will love them. I mean, I'm going to send them to you.
I bet you that your dad's got a lot of pictures of Pappy, hasn't
he? He does.
Yeah.
Yeah, he may have them, but they're great.
He was a wonderful man. He and my father were best friends. And I can tell you some stories about Pappy.
I bet you can.
Yeah.
On the air or not?
Yeah. Oh, no, he was a nice guy, you know. I remember he had the little... bar down on the corner of 7th and Limestone. We used to go down there and eat all the time. A lot of the horse people went in there and ate, you know. And it was a wonderful little place to go, you know. He called everybody John. Did you know that?
I did not know.
Oh, yeah. My dad was John. I was John. Anybody walking in the door was John. Hey, John. You know? That eliminated having to remember people's names right away, see. He was a neat, neat man. I really loved him. He was, I was a pallbearer at his funeral. I was honored to be, your grandfather asked me to be. And I was honored to be that. Well, let me take a little break here and we'll get right back to you, Nicole. Well, Horace Greeley sprinted 7 furlongs and 1:22 and change to win the Grade II Del Mar Futurity just days after breaking his maiden by 4 lengths at the same track. He was a brilliant 2-year-old and was assigned 119 pounds on an experimental free handicap. In but 2 starts at 3, he placed in the Grade 1 Malibu Stakes at Santa Anita. Horace Greeley is sired by the internationally successful Mr. Greeley, the son of Gone West, and he's out of the Grade 1 mare Chili Chate, a daughter of Stormcap. His second dam, a multiple Grade 1 Stakes winner, also produced 3 Stakes winners, 2 graded, including Jadada, winner of the Grade 3 Fayette Breeders' Cup Stakes, right out there at Keeneland. And his next dam was also a grade was a stakes winner and a grade one producer. Horace Greeley's first foals are yearlings, and they look and act like runners. For instance, two of his first crop weanlings sold at Ocala last October. One bought $47,000 and the other $35,000. He stands for $5,000 doing a foal stands of nurses at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at ClaibornFarm.com.
And Indian Creek, the Clay by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, March 5 at Aqueduct, the Fred Capicella Stake, Capicella Stakes, I'll get it right in a minute, was won by, I don't know the gentleman, so I'm...
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time...
What are they doing?
Many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally Van, on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, March 5 at Aqueduct, the Fred Capicella Stakes, I'm still mispronouncing it. Shut up over there, Jack. Was won by a Sensational Slam, a 3-year-old colt by Grand Slam. The Capicella was Sensational Slam's first start of the year and just the fourth of his career. He won his first two starts as a 2-year-old, both stakes at Woodbine. Both stakes at Woodbine, incidentally. The Clarendon Stakes in his first start and the Vandal Stakes in his second start. Bred by Hill and Dale Farm, sold as a 2-year-old in Ocala in March for $240,000 and trained by Todd Pletcher, he's earned over $211,000 in just four starts. He is one of 4 2-year-olds by Grand Slam to win stakes in 2010. In fact, Grand Slam ranked among the nation's leading sires on the general sire list, juvenile sire list, and for number of winners and for number of races won. And he's off to another solid year in 2011 with Sensational Slam, Dilemma, winner of the Grade 3 Daytona Stakes out at Santa Anita, group placed Spring of Fame, plus 3 more that have placed in stakes this year. Grand Slam is a great value at $15,000 live foal, and he stands at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coolmore. All right, well, I'm talking to Nicole Pirat, and Nicole, we were talking about your great-grandfather. Boy, that dates me, doesn't it?
I'm sure you were just a babe.
Oh, no, I wouldn't have been a babe. But I remember... Abe was an HBP rat, and he broke his foot one time. He was training out of Keeneland. He went fishing. You know, he loved to fish. Stepped in a groundhog hole, and he called me up and said, "Boy," he called me "Boy" when he wasn't calling me John. I need a ride out to Keeneland every morning. So I had to get up at 4:30 every morning, go down and pick up Pappy, and we'd head out for Sales Road. Used to be a restaurant. A little, well, like a diner right on the corner of Angliana and Versailles Road. And we'd stop in there and have breakfast. And then we'd go on out to Keeneland. I had a little white Le Mans, 1964 Pontiac Le Mans convertible. And he'd have those crutches sitting up there. We'd be doing that Versailles Road, you know. I'd take him to the barn, and then when he was training, he'd get in the car, and we'd drive. Take him right up to the gap. They were letting us do that, because Pappy was on crutches. And we'd sit up there and watch him train. And then he'd have me home by about 8:30, and I had to be working 9, so. but he was fun. He and Dad were really close friends. And he and Dad, and I think your grandfather had an old horse named Larrikin that they had a lot of fun with, I bet you.
Yes, I've heard some stories about that.
Oh, yeah, they won a lot of races, you know.
We have the biggest picture in our house, I guess, is Larrikin.
Yeah.
A great big,
it was a picture taken by Alan Brewer. And it was in color, and it's a great big picture, you know. And Alan kind of blew it all out of proportion. Poor Alan, he died in a plane crash going to the Washington, D.C. International way back in the 60s.
Well, I want to ask her about her Pony Club days. Now, Pony Club does three-day things, dressage and cross-country and jumping. So you got into that?
They pretty much cover all the disciplines, but I was more into the three-day and horse trials and that type of thing.
So you did that. How far did you get in that?
I competed up to the intermediate level, which would be, you know, I think Rolex, I don't think they have the intermediate level there anymore, but that level.
That's a big deal. Did you travel much with it?
We traveled quite a bit.
Yeah.
Traveled up to the East Coast. And
poor Bruce.
So your mom went with you?
Mom went with us, and she and Dad were my grooms, and
well, that
off
works.
We'd go.
Yeah.
That's great. How long did you do that now?
I really gave that up after college.
But you went to UK?
Went to UK, and at that point I was taking horses off the track and training them, and then pinhooking some second career horses.
Okay, so you said you then, how did you get into the business?
Well, the lady that had worked the horse sales for 20-some years decided that wasn't what she wanted to do anymore and retired, and they needed somebody to go to the horse sales. So that's really how I got into Sally.
Oh, okay. So you go down to the horse sales, go around, introduce yourself, and meet everybody. Is that how that works?
And at the van desk, so when people purchase their horses, they'll come and see us and make arrangements to transport their horses to their new homes.
Mm. Well, you went to work for Bobby then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bobby and my grandmother.
And your grandmother, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember your grandmother.
Yeah, I remember her too.
And she's 93 and still comes to the office probably 2 days a week.
Bless
good
her heart.
For her.
Good for her, yeah.
It's pretty neat. We've got my mom and grandmother work a couple days a week with doing HR and payroll, so we've got three generations of ladies there right now. It's sort of cool.
That is super.
It is great, yeah.
Yeah, interesting stuff. So you're just taking it over.
Well, you know, there's a great foundation and a great sense of responsibility to holding up that legacy.
Now, your grandfather, Frank, yeah,
yes.
Your dad's father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I knew him quite well also, of course. I remember when he opened his first appliance shop. It was on Broadway, right across from the Opera House there.
Yes.
Did you? You don't remember that? No.
I don't remember
that. No, because he just came back from World War II, I guess, and opened that up.
I think he went around in his station wagon putting antennas on people's houses and showing them how they could have a television.
Yeah, that's so cute. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. He was a great businessman, you know. Of course, so was your dad, as far as that goes.
He was a great role model.
Yeah. Well, yeah, working.
Yeah. That's the best gift of my parents and grandparents gave me was a fantastic work ethic.
Yeah. Well, that'll carry you a long way now. That and a little brain.
Well, where do you see yourself 10 years?
10 years? Well, I see our industry evolving and it'll bounce back and we're growing and busy as ever and we've put together a fantastic team to carry this on into the future.
Now, what areas do you cover, Sally? The Eastern Seaboard and how far do you go?
We travel the entire U.S. and Canada, but our predominant areas of travel would be east of the Mississippi, up into the East Coast, down to Florida, up into Canada.
But you can go as far west as California? No?
Absolutely. If somebody wants to send a load of horses, we'd be glad to go, but it's not something that we typically build loads to go to.
I see. How many rigs do you have? Okay, the ones you haul around here are like two-horse vans, aren't they?
Right.
Yeah, how many of those do you have operating?
We have about 20, 25 of those operating, and 30-plus tractor-trailers on the road.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's a lot.
What type, or do you buy all the same kind, or you buy different kinds?
We try to buy the same type tractors. Mm-hmm. We run Freightliners, and we run international trucks underneath.
The big ones are Freightliners?
They are.
Yeah. What are the smaller ones, like your two-horse vans?
The two-horse vans, we run internationals on those.
Internationals. Okay. You have fiddled around with other makes, though, haven't you?
We have in the past, but just to get the power and the efficiencies, those have been the trucks we've had the best luck with.
Yeah, okay. How many workers do you have, drivers you have working for you?
Drivers, we have about 65, 70.
Wow.
Is that right?
That's a big deal.
Good God, Gertrude.
That's a lot.
We have right around 100, give or take, employees, depending on the time of year.
Is that right? I was going to apply for a job. They don't need me.
No, not driving. Or doing the math, or let's see.
You need any of those vans clocks or anything?
Well, one thing about it, if we can find a good horseman that have good driving skills, we always have a home for them.
Yeah, well, you've got the reputation of having the best drivers in the business, you know. So it's and have had for years and years, starting with Bobby, I guess.
Yes, it's neat. We've got several generations of father, son, and that type of thing as well. It's pretty neat to see people through their families be involved and continue on in the business.
I think when Bobby started it, there were two other local ones around, Reliable Van Service, and they're the ones that took me out to Calumet one day to breed a mare, and they said, we'll be back in an hour. I stood out there for 3 hours and finally had to call Sally Van to come rescue me. That's what I get for going cheap.
That'll teach you.
Yeah,
that taught you, didn't it?
Because
they always
right
moved on mares. Yeah. We always said.
And Gary Paxton. Gary Paxton had a van service at that time.
Yep.
And that was, I don't know when Gary went out of business, but there's not that many anymore.
How long Sally been in business, the van?
Since the early 60s.
Thought it was longer than that.
I think it was.
It might have been.
Yeah. Well, of course, Bobby bought it from the Sally
family. Right, and that was in the early 60s.
Yeah, there was a
bunch. So Sally was before that.
Yeah, there were, it was Bill, Sally, and there was a bunch of them, you know. And, I forget who he bought it from. But
They had a couple box trucks, and they fueled their trucks up at my grandfather's service station at the corner of Parker's Mill and Versailles Road.
Mm-hmm. I'll be darned.
And I don't think he wanted to continue with the vans and was working on the starting gate out at Keeneland. And my grandfather and grandmother thought it'd be a good thing for them to dabble in with my uncle. And between my grandmother and Bobby, they grew the business to what it was.
Yeah, that's neat. That's a family business.
Yeah, that's great.
And still a family business.
Yeah, and you can always tell it's spring in Lexington, because you see those Sally vans going everywhere, those mares. I mean, it's just a sign of spring. It's great. Mm.
It is great. It's nice to see them out and moving, and this year's been a very busy breeding season, which has been nice.
You all have hauled a lot of horses to the famous horses to the Derby. And
we have. There's very few that have gone and on other trucks and won, maybe less than three or four.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That's fabulous. Yeah. That is really great.
Well, that's super.
Yeah. And her mother and father, who I know where they went on their first date, their first car date. I won't say, but it's awful. And it used to be a small town. But they are at the SEC tournament, thank you.
Yeah. Well, your dad played football at Oklahoma State?
He did.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Did he play high school, Bryant Station or?
Lafayette.
Lafayette, well.
We're a whole family of Lafayette graduates.
Ursula graduated from Lafayette, too, so there's pluses and minuses there. Yeah.
I used to play football out there, too, but I wasn't very good.
Shoot, what fun.
Well, Nicole, I want to thank you for coming by. My goodness, and it took me long enough to get you on on the air. I tried, what was it, 2 years ago I was trying to get you on the air.
Well, thank you so much for having me come by, and we look forward to a fun spring at Keeneland this year.
Yes.
Yes. Say hello to your folks.
Yeah.
I sure will.
And, all of them.
And I
was got a whole passel of them out there.
Yeah. You know, your great-grandpappy, he named two horses after my dad, you know that?
I didn't.
Okay. Yeah, one of them was named Boss Ellis, and the other one was Ursel. And he won some races with Boss Ellis, but Ursel wasn't worth two dead flies.
Well, that's a terrible thing to saddle up for Ursel.
I know. I couldn't overcome it either. Nicole, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it, hon.
Oh,
it's fun
so
talking
much.
To you. And see your dad, I'm pretty sure, pretty soon, because we need a new TV.
Oh, good. Go get him up.
All right.
Ours is fuzzy.
Yeah, ours is getting real fuzzy around the edges. All right. All righty. Let's see where we are here. I think I'm down to Judmont Farm. Right. Well, once again, let me remind you that Mizzen Mass has sired as many as 24 two-year-old winners in a single crop, and that 9 of the 24 won are placed in stakes. And let me point out that Mizzen Mass has an outstanding crop of two-year-olds going for him this year. He covered 149 mares in 2008. It's going to be another good year for Mizzen Mass. Last year, Mizzen Mass was represented by 13 stakes horses, 3 of them were two-year-olds, and 8 stakes winners. He has sired 2 Grade 1 stakes winners, and nearly half of his stakes horses have won a place in graded stakes. And he has sired stakes winners on dirt, grass, and artificial surfaces, and in 4 different countries. A Grade 1 stakes winner by the leading sire Cozine, with a pedigree which provides an ideal outcross for Northern Dancer and Mr. Prospector Line mares. Mizzen Mass stands for 12,500 live foal at Judmont Farm, home also of the young Grade 1 stakes winner, First Defense. He's by Unbridled Song out of the Grade 1 Stakes Winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slough. First Defense stands for 7,500 live foal. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. See the website at judmont.com.
Catering at 253-0541. Attend the Turf Catering Job Fair Tuesday, March 22nd from 1 to 6 p.m. in the Keene Barn Entertainment Center.
I want to say a little word about my good friend Tom Biederman, Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers. He's got great Central Kentucky properties, quality farms, residential estates, and a wonderful website. Boy, that website is, you need to go on it just to browse. It's BiedermanBrokerage.com, BIEDERMAN Brokerage.com. And the phone number, Tom's phone number is 277-2030. That's an easy one, isn't it? 277-2030. Now, Tom's got some great people. Of course, Tom's a broker. He's got some great people working for him. Reggie Bouchel's been with him for I don't know how long. Mike Lear and Mike Morrison, Ryan Teeter, Joel Brown, and Broussard Huntley, and Brad Noel. And it's just a wonderful firm. Tom's a horseman, in addition to being a real estate broker. And he knows what horsemen want. And what they need. He knows what's a good horse for them, what's not. And if you're looking to sell your place, or if you're looking to buy, well, man to call is Tom Biederman. He's a great guy to do business with. He's just a great guy, period. And it's Tom Biederman, Real Estate and Auctioneers. And once again, his website is BiedermanBrokerage.com. And go to that website because he's got some great listings there and you get to browse through and take a look at things and really got some wonderful property for sale listed, and he'd be more than happy to list yours. Phone number again is 277-2030.
Run that body one more time.
All righty. Well, I've got time to do a little history. What? Oh, no. I've got... Are you still there?
I'm here.
All right. I've got my good buddy, Steve Moody, on the show. Hey, how about that ball game yesterday? They finally won one at the end.
Yeah, well, they did that Sunday, too. We had a nice road win to finish the year, so maybe they've kind of got their act together. And, of course, they got this is not really a road game down there in Atlanta. They're filled with Kentucky fans from everywhere, but... maybe they'll get a chance to avenge another loss today with the taking on Alabama.
Yeah, well, it's Alabama looked pretty good. They came from I thought Georgia was going to win the game, to tell you the truth, going into it. And it looked like they had it won. And I think that's a good coach at Georgia, don't you?
He didn't have one of his better games yesterday, though. He had some bad luck. He didn't call a timeout when he should have, and then he did call one when he shouldn't have. So
who knew? I mean, that was a wild shot that kid put up, and it banked in.
Yeah.
You know, that 3-point. All right, well, let's get back to horse racing. Who's going to win the stakes race down there? What is that stakes race today? It's for fillies. I know that.
Yeah, fillies and mares 4 and up. It's the Wintergreen. Going a mile. Got 11 horses drawn in there, Ursel. And pretty good race. Got several of these coming out of the likely exchange last time out. And I think the 1, 2, several of them out of that race are back. And I think, you know, a couple of new ones that are showing up here. The horse to beat probably, again, is going to be the 9 horse I liked in the likely exchange. That was La Grande Bayadora, who came rallying from off the pace, won that race going away, is now 3-for-3 at Turfway Park. And I think she'll have another fairly honest pace in front of her again today. You've got some speed on the inside with John Mills Edge, and Queen of Arts won't be too far back. Miss Luwan has got some early foot. War Tigress has shown speed on the turf, depending on how she handles, what kind of pace she shows on the poly track. And the outside horse, Hot Mama's got a little bit of early foot. So I think the pace in here is going to be an honest one again. I think it sets up for a late runner like La Grande Bayadora. As I said, she's unbeaten at Turfway, and Mike Maker's going to be the leading trainer for the meet. He's got her, and looks like he's got her on top of her game. So I think she's going to be tough in here. One of the new invaders is the 8 War Tigress. As I said, she's been mostly a turf specialist, but never raced on poly track. But she has been working well over the poly at Keeneland. And if those works are any indication, she seems to like that surface. If she takes to it at Turfway, I think she's got a chance. She should be in front of the favorite. I think she'll be a little closer to the pace than La Grande Bayadora. And if she's good enough and takes to the surface, then I think she's probably the top contender here. And then the other horse, Hungry Tigress, she comes in here for Billy Connolly, John McKee. She's another late runner. So she was about a little less than 3 lengths, I think, behind the favorite last time out in the likely exchange, and she'll try to turn the tables today. So those are the 3 I like in here, 9, 8, and 3 in the Wintergreen Stakes. We're going to go for La Grande Bayadora to keep her record perfect at Turfway. We're going to take her and win the top choice in the Wintergreen.
Oh, very good. So there's the winner of the Wintergreen Stakes today down at Turfway Park. I'd ask you who's going to win the ball game today, but you do a hell of a lot better job handicapping horses than you do basketball games, I've noticed.
Well, that's true, although, I think they'll get after Alabama today. It looks like I think they're going to want to try to avenge that loss from earlier, when Alabama they were kind of embarrassing there for a while in Tuscaloosa. They were down 20 and then made the big comeback and got back in it, but never could get quite over the hump. And so hopefully today it'll be a little bit of little bit of comeuppance for the Crimson Tide.
Well, if they get down 20 again, it won't be. now they're looking a lot better, though. They sure are. All right, Steve, thank you. This has been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. He's the author of that, and you can buy that wherever you find a daily racing form. It's published by my good friends over at Bloodstock Research Information Services. Steve, thank you.
All right, Russell.
All right, talk to you next week. All righty. Well, let's do a commercial and then come back and do a little history. I was going to do a little history ahead of time there. I have a way of getting ahead of myself. I'm usually behind. Well, Game On Dude, winner last Saturday, the Grade 1 Santa Anita Handicap, is the 11th Grade 1 winner, sired by Awesome Again. One of the 11 is the Fleet De Hare, winner of the Grade 1 Cigar Mile. Another is De Hare's full sister, Spun Sugar, winner of both the Grade 1 Apple Blossom and the Grade 1 Gopher Wand. Now, De Hare ran a mile in 1:33.1 for a 1:14 buyer to take the Cigar Mile. He also won the historic Grade 2 Jerome in 1:34.1, posting a 1:10 buyer. So he had brilliant speed. Awesome Again has also sired four winners of Breeders' Cup races, more than any other active sire. He sired a winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and two winners of the Breeders' Cup Distaff. Awesome Again stands for a fee of $50,000. De Hare and Spun Sugar are out of the stakes-winning mare Irish Cherry. She sold at auction for $2,700,000, and her full sister, Spun Sugar, sold for $4,500,000. So it's a top family. De Hare stands for $7,500 live foal, and it stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. I want to say something nice about one of my good Irish friends, and an Irishman in here earlier, Carl Lumley, who, by golly, didn't sound like an Irishman. I don't know what happened to him. Introduce him to Jim Fitzgerald, because Jim still sounds Irish. Jim owns Knott Griffin Farm and Harper's Island Farm, and there's great boarding facilities there, incidentally. Whatever you need, he can take care of it, sales prep, layups. He's had a lifetime experience in the horse business. He was born and raised around horses. He had a pony when he was 2 years old, and now he's got more than one pony, I'll tell you that. But his farm down there, you know, he's got top help, absolutely first-class help. And if you're in the horse business and you're not doing too well, if you're thinking about getting into the horse business, or if you're looking somebody to do some sales prep or board a horse for you, or a layup off the racetrack, where Jim Fitzgerald can take care of you at Knott Griffin Farm. And somebody you can trust is going to treat you right. Number down there is 987-8032. And that's Jim Fitzgerald at Knott Griffin Farm. And website is knockgriffin.com. Well, in racing last Saturday, Z Humor, a five-year-old horse by Distorted Humor, shipped in to win the $150,000 Maxim Gold Cup at Sam Houston. And Colisio, a four-year-old colt by Distorted Humor, set a new course record for a mile under 16th to take the Challenger Stakes at Tampa. Now, Z Humor, bred by the JFB Stables and trained by Steve Asmussen, is a graded stakes winner of over $970,000. He also placed in the Grade 1 Champagne as a two-year-old. Colisio, bred and owned by Wertheimer and Freer and trained by Todd Pletcher, went into the Challenger off a third in the Grade 3 ACAC at Churchill. He won the Grade 3 Northern Dancer at Churchill, and he also won the Star of Cuisine Stakes at Belmont last year. Now, that's the kind of performance expected of the progeny of Distorted Humor, and that's also the kind of performance expected of Sharp Humor, a young graded stakes winner by Distorted Humor, standing like his sire at Windstar Farm. Now, the first foals by Sharp Humor raced last year, and among all first-year sires at stud, in the USA, he ranked fifth for money won and was tied for first for a number of winners. Had 25 winners in that first crop. And to date, he has four stakes winners plus five to place in stakes. That's 10 stakes horses in his first crop. He's a chip off the old block. So when you see a yearling by Distorted Humor or Sharp Humor at the 2011 sales, take a close look. Chances are you're pretty good that you're looking at a runner. Inquiries to Robert Hammond at Windstar Farm. See the website at WindstarFarm.com. righty. Now I'm going to do a little history. I'm going to talk about a horse who was a two-year-old in 1957 named Nadir. He was by Nazrula out of Galata by Challenger II, bred and owned by Claiborne Farm, trained by Moody Jolly. Nadir, as a two-year-old, was capable of exerting tremendous power. He was big, growthy, gawking, and he also was very difficult to manage. Trainer Moody Jolly felt that if Nadir won his first two or three starts as a two-year-old, he would never be beaten. Well, he won his first three, but he lost the next three, and he remained thoroughly green throughout the season. I don't know if it was green or just a little bit of temperament, but anyway. However, what he did in wild racing, green or whatever it was, gave great promise of the future if he matured mentally. Now, Nadir's dam, Galata, was a full sister to Gallarette. Of course, trainer Ed Christmas had told Bull Hancock that Galata, before she got sick, which stopped her training, could do anything that Gallarette could do. Of course, Gallarette was a great race mare. So Galata was bred by William L. Brand at his Glade Valley farm in Maryland. Mr. Brand died in 1953. Mr. Hancock tried to buy the mare for $25,000 from Mrs. Brand, but she turned him down. So Mr. Hancock purchased all the horses for a lump sum and resold them as the property of the Brand estate at Keeneland in the fall of 1953, and he purchased Galata for himself for $15,000, then sold the other 29 for a profit. Mr. Hancock knew what he was doing.
Yeah, boy.
The whole family does, as a matter of fact. And he bred Galata to Nazrula, and the result was Nadir. Now, Mr. Hancock knew Galata's family well. The family had been producing big, plain, raw-bone top-class runners for generations at Claiborne and elsewhere, of course. Galata's granddam was Flambette. She was imported, and she'd won the Latonia Oaks and the Coaching Club American Oaks. And Flambette's high-class daughter was Flambino, and she was the dam of the Triple Crown winner Omaha. Of course, it was foaled down at Claiborne Farm. And also Flares. The Flares went overseas and won the Ascot Gold Cup, among other races. And another daughter, La France, produced Kentucky Derby and Belmont Stakes winner Johnstown, who was bred by Mr. A.B. Hancock Sr., and also the high-class race mare and stakes winner Jacola. And Jacola was the dam of Phalanx, won the Belmont Stakes for Mr. C.V. Whitney. He had finished second in the Derby, got beat a net by Jet Pilot back in 1947. Nadir was shipped to Florida at the end of 1956, and because of an injury, they sent him back to Kentucky in February, and it was late in May before he was shipped up to Belmont Park for training. Got to the post for the first time on August the 5 up at Saratoga, and he won by 6 lengths, wearing blinkers. And Mr. Moody said that that Nadir thought he was part of the business to see his business to see what was going around him, so he put blinkers on him. And if the blinkers helped him in some races, they may have contributed to his defeat in some others. Pete Anderson rode him first time he ran. Second start was at August 13th at Saratoga, won 5.5 furlongs. Mr. Jolly took him into one of the stalls, which is normally used on rainy days to saddle horses, and he was very rank to saddle that day, reared again as he stepped out on the racetrack with Anderson slipping out of the saddle, so he dumped Pete before he even got to the post. And he was just as rank in the race as he had been before. He drifted out a couple of times, came in, but he still won by neck. Next time out, they put a little stronger rider on him. That was Eddie Arcaro. He rode him in his third start, going 6 furlongs at Belmont on the 7th of 6th September. And his main rival in that day was Fleet Feet, who was owned by Mr. Ned Brent, who owned Monterey Farm down in Bourbon County on Paris Pike. Nadir caught Fleet Feet at the wire, beating him by head. Fleet Feet led all the way. Now, he was by Count Fleet. Am I right about that? He might have been by Fleeting Star, who was a son of Count Fleet. Huh. I'm not sure about that. The same sire. I got the sire line right. I know that, but I may be a generation off there. Story of my life. He was getting ready for the September the 16th Cowden. He dropped in that particular race. In the Cowden, he dropped 7 lengths out of it. And the pace was being set by a real fast colt named Jimmer. He called Jules Reward a 16th out, but he couldn't get by him. And Jules Reward raced for Main Chance Farm. He was by Jet Jewel. I do know him right there. And he won by head, beat Nadir by head. On the 28th of September, he finished 5th in the Futurity. That was on the straight widener course. Swerved in the first furlong and ran into a horse named Crasher, which aptly named, I guess. And after that, he didn't extend himself at all. And Jester won the race. Jester was by the first crop by Tom Fool. In fact, he was the first winner by Tom Fool. And a very good horse. Misty Flight was second, Alhambra third, and Crasher hung on to be fourth. He was 5-1. Nadir was 5-1 for the Champagne Stakes under Bobby Ussery. He moved up confidently near the 3/8 pole and swerved to the left when Ussery hit him on the right side, and he swerved to the right when he hit him on the left side, and he ran fifth with his ears pricked. Jules Reward won him. Went to Garden State for the Garden State trial on October the 19th and finished in a dead heat with a horse named Music Man Fox. And 1 week later, in an allowance race, he won, going at 1 1/16. His last start at 2 was in the world's richest race for 2-year-olds, and that was the Garden State Stakes. And the first money was worth $155,047.50. He was the second choice to Misty Flight in there. Hardtack rode Nadir that day. He made it around the first turn okay. And as the 13-horse field straightened out on the backstretch, he was in third place, about 4 lengths back behind the leader, Yeeman. Near the 5/8 pole, he began pulling hard, and Hardtack didn't fight him. He just let him take the lead. In a little more than a furlong, he was on front. Halfway around the turn, he had drawn clear, and it was a darn good thing that he had, because at that point he propped, ducked out about 20 feet, and Hardtack kept him going somehow. And even though he ran green all the way through the stretch, he still won by 2 lengths, beating Terra Firma, Rose Trellis, and some others, including Jules Reward, incidentally. So he won 5 of his 8 starts as a 2-year-old. Went on the next year, didn't live up to his promise. He won the American Derby. Ran second in the Widener and the Woodward later on, but and was side 5 stakes winners. Wasn't very good at stud at all. Unsuccessful at stud. Best thing he sired was a tough, hard knocking horse named R. Thomas that I remember real well. Ended up in Japan.
Oh, my goodness.
But he was the second top-weighted 2-year-old on the free handicap that year. They gave him 125 pounds. Jules Reward was the top weight at 126. Well, there were 7 2-year-olds sired by Malibu Moon, cataloged for the Fasey Tipton March 2-year-olds in training sale. 6 of them were sold, and they sold far, $500,000, $470,000, $350,000, $310,000, $300,000, and $200,000. That's because Malibu Moon sires runners, and horsemen are well aware of it. He climbed to number 3 on the 2010 North American sire list. They also know the Dynaformer sires runners. He's ranked among the top 10 leading sires 8 times. Graded stakes winner Temple City is by Dynaformer, out of a half-sister to Malibu Moon. Now, that is a sire pedigree. Now throw in the fact that Temple City's dam is by Danzig, sire of 201 stakes winners. So Temple City won his first career start, going 6.5 furlongs and 115-1. Went on to win a Grade 3 Cougar, the second handicap, in record time at Del Mar, got hiccups. He also was a photo finish second in the Grade 1 Hollywood Turf Cup. Went second, just got beat ahead in the Grade 2 American Handicap. and was beaten less than a length in the Grade 2 Del Mar handicap, and he posted a pair of one-mile wins, getting a distance in 134 and one in one of them. Now, Temple City is standing his first season at stud for $5,000 doing the full stands and nurses. So call Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Sean Feld or Ned Toffee over at Spencer Farm and ask how you can obtain a lifetime breeding right to Temple City. The website is SpendthriftFarm.com. All right, Jackie.
You were talking about that horse that went to Japan. I got on the internet this morning, and the stud farms are not on Japanese mainland per se. It's a island northeast.
Okada.
Right. And let me see who emailed me. Connor McCarthy did, and the word is that they're all fine. Darley's over there. And
what was that Irishman, though?
Well, you know, remember Natey and Keith that worked for him? They're over there.
Well, that's they probably caused the damn thing.
Well, anyway, the reports, early reports are that it's fine, that they that the horses and all the stud farms in Japan are okay. All right, Dameron Tech is back. Sean Dameron is back in the Bluegrass. He's got a retail location now. This is in Versailles. He's open Monday through Friday from 2 to 6. When you get to Versailles, go straight into the courthouse, turn right, go down about a block and a half, and there's two churches on the right. One of them's Presbyterian. Forgotten the other one, and he's in the middle. And ain't that funny? and it says Dameron Cams because he has this business going where he puts cameras in your house, in your farm, in your barn, in your business, wherever, and rigs it up so that you can get continual viewing of on your computer, on even on your cell phone. Now, that's invaluable. I mean, if you're away from the place and you want to check and see what's going on, there it is. That's brilliant, I think, don't you? I think it's a great idea. And, of course, he still fixes computers, still makes house calls, still working on our webpage.
Which needs some work, Dameron.
Dameron.
He's get hot. Busy. Get hot.
Anyway, his number is 230-6449, and it's DameronTech.com, and it's DameronCams.com. So give old Sean a call.
I mean, he's got two websites?
Yes.
I'll be damned. No wonder he doesn't have time to work on ours.
Careful. Okay, 1 week from today, March 19th, that's next Saturday at 9:30 a.m., is the 28th Annual Fayette County Farm Bureau Farm Equipment Consignment Auction. It's at the Kentucky Horse Park. It's open to the public. Go in the main entrance, turn right, and you'll see a bunch of stuff. And that is it. It's $5 parking fee. All types of farm equipment, lawn equipment, garden equipment, boats. Isn't that interesting? Trucks and tractors and manure spreaders and chain harrows, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, if you want more information, I got Kerry Johnson at the Farm Bureau at the ready to answer your calls, 253-0023. Now, no trucks or trailers or boats will be accepted without proper titles.
Oh, shoot.
I know, and if you've got there and it's shaved off, kind of sanded down where the number was, you might be arrested. So check that out before you go, and don't bother us. Tommy Biederman, our buddy, is going to be an auctioneer. 100% of the proceeds go to the Fayette County Farm Bureau Education Foundation, and you get a tax deduction.
Well, I've got to get another chair.
Why?
I'm getting a little saddle sore sitting on this metal chair here, I tell you that.
Where's all your cushions?
There's one there, but it, you know.
Well, Poofy, we'll have to buy ooh, a new chair, a soft fuzzy one.
Okay. All right, do it.
Lazy boy.
Yeah, right.
I'm a lazy boy. Okay, at the horse park today and tomorrow, Champagne Run, spring is here, Champagne Run Hunter Jumper Show, it's inside. It's at the horse park, and it's a fun thing. Maggie Wright, 621-2478, if you want more information. You can go to champagnerun.com, too. They got a pretty nice website. March 14th, 16th and 17th Indoor Polo presented by the Lexington Polo Club. Next Saturday and Sunday, Bluegrass Mounted Games. Next Saturday is the last, I think, of Julie Congleton's Snowbird Dressage events. You go out and name your dressage test and do it and get all that kind of stuff. She's such a nice girl. Her number, 846, she's down there midway, 846-4889. Now, CKRH's Paul Frazier show is coming up March 26th. Next High Hope Volunteer Meeting, and they need volunteers, Tuesday, March 15th, 7 o'clock, U.S. Pony Club office at the Horse Park. Also, a lecture and a book signing on next March 19th, Robert Vavra, Vavra's Vision, the Equine Images of Robert Vavra at the International Museum of the Horse. That's also next weekend. TOBA is having two seminars coming up fairly quickly. New owner seminars May 5th at the Kentucky Derby Museum, of course, in Louisville. And a breeding clinic here in Lexington May 27th through the 29th. To register, go to TOBA.org. Equine Humane Center Horse of the Week. This is a nice guy. I want to make sure this one gets a home. He's a bay thoroughbred 5-year-old gelding. He's 15-2. Nice, sweet-looking thing. Well-mannered, nice horse, needs a home. Also, the Equine Humane Center All-Breed Charity Horse Show will be Sunday, May 8th at the Bally High Show Stable in Versailles. That's Joyce Brinsfield's place down on 33. Easy to find. CKRH, which used to be riding for the handicap, is now riding for Hope, is looking for horses. Oh, here's one. You don't get to ride cross-country much at the horse park because it's usually closed to just coming in and riding. The first one, they do this 5 days. The first one is Sunday, May 15th. It's $35 to do it. You have to buy a parking sticker, a parking pass, 1 day $20.75 for all 5 sessions. You can earn a free cross-country schooling session if you will get out there today and next Saturday, 9 to 2, to help pick up trash. So if you're not doing anything, get yourself out there and help.
Put on your orange jumpsuit and go out there.
Go out there. Colostrum banks are low, that's all.
Okay, we've had 15 winners since last week's show that were trained at the Thoroughbred Center. And the guys who saddled those winners were Jim Dodgen, Marco Castaneda, A.T. Skinner, Jim Rankin, Mark Hubley, Ron Pellegrini, Brenda Hill, Eduardo Caramori, Mark Hubley, Tommy Short, Maggie Schumann, Bobby Sturgeon, Kiko Gothard, Mark Hubley again, and Matt Frazier. So we had a pretty good week. I want to thank Mary Jane down at the studio and Ressie here. For helping us out, get this thing on the air, and don't forget that the UK pregame show is next. What do you want, Jackie?
This will be up on the internet by tomorrow, and then if you want to hear any of this again, it's UrsulEllis.com.
Thanks for listening.